Having been rebuffed, Hipparchus decided to take vengeance, and the way he did this was by having dismissed from an important parade in Athens, the Panathenaic Festival, the sister of Aristogiton, who had been scheduled to carry a basket and to have an important role in this ceremony in honour of Athena. Faced with this slight, Aristogiton and Harmodius, his older lover, came to the Panathenaic procession armed, and coming upon Hipparchus at one end of the procession on the outskirts of Athens as he was preparing the various participants to begin the procession into town, they slew the tyrant. They were quickly caught and killed, and as we know, Hippias continued to rule for another 4 years afterwards. But there was something about this story that caught the imagination of the Athenians, and I think what it unfortunately represents is that a good sex scandal will probably last a lot longer in people's imagination than solid history. People were quite happily believing, 50 years after the event, that the tyranny had ended on that day, when in fact all the solid evidence was that it had continued for at least another 4 years. Now, this myth-making about the end of the tyranny is actually quite an important point. Let me illustrate further. Most of the leading families of Athens at later times maintained that during the tyranny they had remained opposed to the tyrants. And one leading family, the family of the Alcmaeonids, one of the most powerful families in Athenian history, even went so far as to claim that during all the years of the tyranny they had withdrawn voluntarily from Athens. They would not live in the city while it was being ruled by the tyrant Pisistratus and his sons. Now, we had no reason to disbelieve that until 1939, when an American archaeologist and excavator and epigrapher by the name of Benjamin Merritt came upon a very small piece of marble in the Athenian Agora, which he was able to demonstrate was in fact a list of the archons of the late 6th century. And there, smack bang in the middle of the 520s, at the very height of the Pisistratid tyranny, was the name of one of the clan leaders of the Alcmaeonids, the family that had supposedly been in voluntary exile the whole time. This was good, solid, concrete, or I should probably say marble, proof that the whole tradition that the Alcmaeonids had been out of Athens during the tyranny in heroic exile was in fact not true and was a later construct. So it's no wonder then that the Athenians had such mixed ideas and conflicting beliefs about the tyranny. I've made the argument, in fact, that the tyranny was quite a good period as far as the Athenians were concerned, and that it was a period of great prosperity. But after the death of Hipparchus, the remaining son of Pisistratus, Hippias, did become more tyrannical, more autocratic in his rule. And as a result, it was in that final 4 years that resistance to the tyranny began to solidify. And in fact, then in 510, at the bidding of the Delphic oracle, once again we see the importance of Delphi in helping to shape the affairs of the Greeks, the Spartans marched in to Athens and helped to expel Hippias the tyrant. So, we face an absolutely critical moment here in the history of Athens. What will happen now at this moment when in 510, after half a century, the Athenians finally find themselves once again liberated and in control of their own future, free to conduct their own affairs? Well, the answer, depressingly, is they immediately slipped back into the same pattern of stasis and conflict that they had been suffering throughout the entire century. In this return to factional strife, two new leaders emerged as the most powerful in Athenian politics in 510, Isagoras and Cleisthenes. And as tension increased between the two clans, the two factions, Isagoras began calling for the expulsion of Cleisthenes and his Alcmaeonid clansmen on the grounds that they were under a curse from the god for a much earlier infraction, long forgotten by most other people. Isagoras went so far as to call upon the Spartans to assist him. It had worked once, let's try it again. And at this moment, around 510, when Isagoras calls upon the Spartans to assist him, we find an event which I think marks an extraordinarily significant step forward for the Athenians. Remember the three attempts by Pisistratus to establish his tyranny, where we'd seen how weak the central authority of Athens was and how easily he had established himself. On this occasion, now, 60 years later, 50 years later, when the Spartans were called in, the Athenians rose up against them and resisted this invasion by the Spartans and resisted having their affairs dictated for them by this exterior power. The Spartan force sent under King Cleomenes was actually bottled up on the Acropolis and was forced to agree to a treaty whereby it would withdraw from Athens, and with them went into exile Isagoras. Cleisthenes triumphant.